Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across the board from me, Mr. Tim Dennis. Tim, have you recovered from today's Anoka Halloween parade?
I didn't have to do much. I sat in the car and I held Toto.
And people thought you were Joe the Plumber.
They did. It was great. We were cruising down Main Street, and this lady looks in the truck and goes, "Hey, there's Joe the Plumber." And I was like, "Darkness Radio, 9 to midnight, Saturdays and Sundays."
Yeah, how queer. Yeah. They really did think you were Joe the
Plumber.
They did.
That wasn't the only lady either. There were a few down the parade route who thought I was Joe the Plumber.
I brought my dog, Toto.
Uh-huh.
Toto was dressed as Underdog.
Oh, yeah.
And making many children happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the powers be, I got to apologize up front, Tim, because we've scarred countless numbers of children today.
That's true.
The powers to be, Ben, I don't know if you heard about this. Can you hear me in there, Ben?
I don't think she can.
She can't hear you. So we've got, we're out on the parade route. They give us one bag of candy, one bag to toss out. And then they give me movie posters. They give me Saw 5. Blindness and Quarantine.
Well, they're all movies around, for the kids.
They're all wrapped up tight, so I'm chucking them out to little kids. Not chucking them out to little kids. I'm trying to get them to the teenagers, but the little kids are like fervent, man. They're like, "Give me the posters."
Yeah.
So I'm giving them the posters, and I'm just like, "Oh, they're going to be like, oh my God."
I've also learned kids are very greedy when it comes to candy. And yes, if you run out of candy, just show them an animal. They're mesmerized.
Yes,
they don't care about candy anymore.
Yes. See, it worked much better than when you tried to take your shirt off. I said, "No, Tim, that's inappropriate."
I'm a furry animal.
You are a bit of a furry animal.
Won't they be mesmerized and stop in their tracks?
I'm excited about tonight's show, Tim. You know I'm a big UFO fan, big buff, love all this stuff. And I'm really excited because in our second hour and third hour, we're going to be joined by Jesse Marcel Jr. And he's going to be telling us about the Roswell Legacy. It's a book that he's written about his father, Major Jesse Marcel, the intelligence officer for the 509th Bomber Group. He was also the first military officer to reach the scene of the most famous and enduring UFO event in recorded history of mankind. His father was the first one on the scene for the Roswell case, Tim. And not only did his father see stuff, but Jesse Jr. saw this as well. I'm really excited about having this guy on the show and talking to him about, his personal experiences with this. So this is a lot of fun for me. And we're going to also, a little bit later on in the show, coming into the end of the show, I guess, about the last half an hour, she's going to join us, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. We have Julie Schuster, who is the executive director of the International UFO Museum and Research Center out in Roswell, New Mexico. And her father was actually the guy that had to give the first original press release stating that we've got a downed UFO, a downed flying saucer. And she's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about that and spend some time. So it's a great show. I'm really looking forward to it. But we got something kind of exciting and a little different to kick off the show this evening, Tim.
Yes, we do.
Normally, we go to the lovely Nicole Remini, and she does a movie review for us. But Nicole is off tonight. She is at a retreat with her family and having a good time. So we wish her a lot of fun and luck with that. We hope she comes back safe and sound. We'll have her back on the show with us live in studio next week. So we've got that going on. But to do the movie reviews, we can't be remiss. We want to keep our movie reviews in place.
Right.
Well, this last week I was out at the Minneapolis Indie Horror Convention where they showed some of the original horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And remember I told you they did shorts by, what was her the furry monster kids or crap. I don't remember the rest of the little characters, but there was one from Transylvania TV.
Furry monster and crap.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. They were actually pretty good. One was those little Teddy Scares.
Okay.
They made a cartoon for Teddy Scares, and they made Zombie Tofu, which is a zombie who only eats tofu.
I love Zombie
Tofu. Yeah, I know they were cute little deals, but then up comes an amazing show.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrilled to see this thing pop up because, you know, I'm a big fan of the Muppets and characters like that. And
yep.
And up comes this great show from Transylvania that we got an opportunity to see. And when I saw this and I met these characters on the screen, I said, I got to have them on our show, Tim. We got to reach out to them. So I made a call to Transylvania. And can you believe it? These guys happened to be coming into Minnesota. And they were willing to come into the studio live to be with us tonight.
And they're not even jet lagged.
They're not.
It's amazing.
You'd think they would be, but they're not. So, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Transylvania TV, Transylvania, please welcome Furry Ackermonster and Dwayne Frankenstein, our guest movie reviewers for the evening. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being a part of the show.
Man, Hello. Are we happy to be here.
Hello.
So, yeah, you guys are willing to step in now? You don't have a problem with doing this? You're all prepared?
No. Yeah, we heard your movie reviewer was out, so... me and Dwayne here, we rushed over. Normally we'd be taking the T-Bone Special, which is the car, you know. But right now, what were we doing? We were coming to Minnesota for a gig and then ran into you.
Well, and I appreciate you guys were great. I loved watching your new TV series. Looks like it's going to be fantastic. Hopefully you guys are going to have some more stuff going on with that. And people can actually check that out on our website as well. But now, tell us a little bit about that. You work on a TV series, right, in Transylvania?
Yes, we do. Yeah. Actually, I run the main board. I'm kind of like your guy in the booth there. And Dwayne is Dwayne.
I make things work when they're broken sometimes. Sometimes I make things broken when they work.
That is a lot like my guy in the booth, Tim, too. He does a lot of that.
It's sort of yin and yang, I suppose.
I'm getting a lot of dirty looks from in there. So let's talk about this now. Right. Go ahead. Now, you were born in Transylvania, right?
We work at TV, mm-hmm. but we see a lot of movies. You see old Furry here. That's me. You can't see me pointing to my furry chest because this is radio. But I was born in Transylvania, which is odd for a Yeti. But I grew up in the States watching late-night triple bill horror shows on UHF TV. Remember UHF?
Yeah, actually, you know, I grew up in Chicago. We grew up watching Son of Svengoolie on Channel 32 on UHF, all the old horror movies on that.
Yeah, I remember Sven. He was good. Yeah. And then I started renting horrible horror crap on VHS. You remember VHS?
Yeah, guys, sadly, I'm old enough to even remember the old Betamax stuff.
funny.
Yeah, well, now it's all DVD and VRD and DSS and the RNC and the NRA and... But we love movies.
It's fun to go to the theater. I like the crunchy crunch the best.
You like popcorn, Dwayne?
Oh, no, the floor. I like to feel it squishing between my toes.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Dwayne's got a bit of a sticky fetish. Anyway, the movie you have chosen to review is a new release. Got to stay on top of these things. It's called Saw 5 or Saw V. But it doesn't have any of those aliens that look like humans who rip their face and show the lizardy stuff underneath, you know, V. You got anybody on the show who's ever been abducted by those butt monkeys?
Yeah, you know, actually, Tim was probed, you know, but to be fair, they did buy him dinner first, guys.
Gotcha.
They're actually pretty decent to me, yeah.
When I met them, they were jerks. I met one at a sci-fi convention, claimed to be the guy who played Freddy Krueger. It was so bogus. I debunked his ass right there.
Freddy's funny. I want to talk about serial killer movies.
Not your turn yet, D. Besides, Saw V is a serial killer movie with a twist. The victims murder themselves.
Saw V is sticky.
It is sticky.
It's sticky and oogie.
It is oogie. Did you see Saw, Dwayne?
Did I what?
Did you see Saw?
Well, of course I see Saw. They call it teeter-totter where I come from now. They go up and down and up and down. Sometimes I like to choose a very small girl to put her on the other side and sort of pop her up to a bedroom window.
I'm not going there, Dwayne, and neither should you. Saw V. It's about a psychotic puppet, right?
Well, now, we at Transylvania Television relate to that character pretty well, actually.
Yeah, anyway, he basically kills people with irony.
Like a murderous Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, kinda. Except these people's heads blow up and stuff. And some guy gets cut in half, and there's one guy who has to eat his own brain, and then there's kittens, and...
No, that doesn't sound very plausible.
Okay, I admit it. I didn't see Saw 5. But I did see Saw 2 once.
Yeah, we saw that. It sucked. The theater was nice and sticky, though.
So, having missed 5, but seen 2, let's see, do the math, just saw 5, probably sucks 2.5 times as bad.
Now, what did you see, Dwayne?
Well, I saw the most terrifying movie of the year on telly. I didn't catch the beginning. I think it was Gidget Goes to Nuremberg Rally. You see, there was this nice lady. She had to speak in front of a political rally. She was a sweetheart, sort of a beauty queen, and she talked about her cousin Joey Sixpack.
That doesn't sound right, Dwayne, isn't it? Sarah Palin, maybe you guys are?
Well, laugh if you want, but apparently Gidget's teaming up with the fella from Die Hard, John McClane, so that should be interesting.
Don't tell him. Okay. Just as well to keep him sheltered. He'll have nightmares if we tell him the truth. Hey, Dwayne, you better stick to the classics.
Oh,
what's your favorite horror movie?
Oh, Bambi.
And then? Something maybe a little more Halloween-y?
Okay, how about Halloween, starring one of the finest cinematic mass murderers, Michael Myers?
You mean that guy from Love Guru?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, good, because that movie stunk.
Well, Mike Myers is actually an actor who's chosen to live a life of anonymity by wearing a William Shatner mask, which ensures he won't be recognized anywhere except a Star Trek convention. He has some wonderful lines in Halloween like... And the perennial classic.
Who directed that one, Dwayne?
Oh, the film was directed by John Carpenter, a godlike being of the genre cinema, and who, like another godlike being, Jesus, is a carpenter, and could share his monogram robes and towels with Jesus see fit, with DJC and all.
Is that what your bracelet
means,
there?
This one, yeah. What would John Carpenter do? Now, don't be confused and accidentally rent the Rob Zombie Halloween, which is actually a terrible movie and has absolutely no zombies in it whatsoever. Talk about untruthful advertising.
Now, what happens, though, guys, if the video store is completely wiped clean of all the copies of Halloween?
Ah, but then you got to go deep. Get some of the lesser-known ones, right, Dwayne?
That's right. Anything with the word night in it is a good place to start.
Unless it's M. Night Shyamalan, and then you've got about a 33% chance of that stinking.
True.
Let's see. Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Lepus. That's about bunnies.
Hell Night. Prom Night. Silent Night. Deadly Night.
Saturday Night Fever.
The list goes on.
Night at the Opera. Night at the Museum.
I say the list goes on, Dwayne, I mean the list stops going on.
Oh, it's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it?
Well, what? Yes, it is.
What do you guys say to those people who just don't like horror movies, though?
Mostly, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's wrong.
You know, but some people, they're more into, like, the mainstream films with big stars in them, kind of like that Pirates of the Caribbean or something.
You want to see Johnny Depp in a movie? First Nightmare on Elm Street.
Johnny Depp is in Nightmare on Elm Street?
True story.
Better believe it. Lots of mainstream actors started off in horror. It's always been that way. Kevin Bacon, Friday the 13th. Rainn Wilson from The Office in House of 1,000 Corpses.
Right, not to be confused with House of 1,000 Island Dressing. Very, very sticky. Hey, don't forget to ask them for change for the parking meter. Here we go.
Hey, anyway, Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey sound like a romantic comedy? Nope. Return of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, yeah. You guys definitely sound like you know your horror movies.
Okay, I admit it. We really didn't get a chance to review any cool new horror movies, but it's not our fault. We're from Transylvania. There's only one movie theater in the whole country, and they're still playing The Straight Story. We did hit up the video store, but their selection was kind of sparse. They only had one video.
Yeah, one. It was very weird.
Yeah, freaky. I didn't catch the title, but I think it had some kind of... it was like a French black-and-white student film, something about a chick who fell in a well or something. It was kind of all over the place.
Yes, what do they say? It has a very poor narrative thread. Me. Sorry. That's me. Let me get it.
Your mobile phone?
That's my mobile phone. Hello?
Come on.
Who is this? What?
We're on the air.
What do you mean we're going to die in 7 days?
What? Hang up. Hang up. Who was that? Some kind of freaky ghost serial killer?
Oh, no, it was the video store. We're a week overdue on that movie.
Oh, guys. Well, can you guys stick with us? We're going to take our first break here. Furry, Dwayne, we'd love to have you stick in for international news with Adrian Lee. Will you be here?
Sure.
I think they're towing the car, so yeah, we've got to stay.
Excellent. Guys, stay with us. And all you stay listening, you're listening to Darkness Radio, the best in paranormal talk radio. Hey, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in. You are listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis. Guys, check out our Halloween parties coming up this Friday on Halloween. What a novel concept, Tim.
Hey, hell, way to go.
Halloween party on Halloween. You guys can join us. As a matter of fact, we had two of the rooms open up, Tim. So there are two rooms that are still available at the Palmer House Hotel. If you're interested, go to darknessradio.com or darknessevents.com. Click on the Palmer House. For the price of the room, you get the room. You get to ghost hunt with the entire cast of Darkness Radio. You also get a chance, you get some drinks, some food. It's going to be a great time out there. Come on out and spend some time with us again. Go to darknessevents.com. Click on the Palmer banner. Join us out there. Otherwise, if you just want to come hang out for the party, it's totally free to come out there and spend some time with us. Our good friends from ghostshop.com picked up that tab for the party goers. So we do hope that you'll check that out. As a matter of fact, Timothy.
Yes.
What did
I do wrong? Why you got to call me by my proper name?
We'll put these two friendly monsters on the spot. Furry, Dwayne, are you guys going to join us out at the Palmer House? Come on out and meet the people?
Yeah, forget about those two extra rooms because I'm taking those.
Excellent. Good deal. And you guys can ghost hunt with us.
I'm lying, by the way.
You're lying? Come on. You can't come out?
One's for the left cheek, one's for the right cheek.
That's right.
Hey, this is all fur, baby.
Well, we're going to do that. And you guys are going to stay here for our news segment, right?
Sure.
All right, because ladies and gentlemen, it's time for news.
Yo, Adrian.
Now with all the weird news from around the world, it's time for the Supernatural Stories of the Strange, International Edition. Live from London, international news correspondent Adrian Lee.
How do you feel about that, Adrian? We've got your own opening now.
It's really choked me up. I've got tears rolling down my leg as we speak.
They're rolling down your leg.
Those aren't tears.
But it is weeping.
Well, he's got far too much time on his hands.
I know he does, doesn't he? We've got some great new intros for people, so it's going to be a lot of fun to be a part of this. Hey, Adrian is in all the way from London, England. Adrian, you're going to be out with us at the Halloween party this coming weekend.
Absolutely. That's one real haunted building. I've been there a couple of times doing investigations, and it's extremely active. Should be fun.
You were going to go out, actually, tonight after tonight's show to an undisclosed location. I can't mention live on air, but we're going to go ghost hunting, Tim. You, Adrian, and I are going to go ghost hunting with the kids from the KDWB morning show.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're going to show them a frightening place. Yeah.
You're taking kids?
Yes, we're taking children.
Ghost hunting?
Yeah, it's a little awkward.
What are you, shotgun?
Yes, exactly. We're going to take them out there, have a little bit of fun, do some ghost hunting and paranormal investigate. It's going to be a good time. So, we're going to get into that. Now, Adrian, you've got some good stories for us here.
I have. I was just going to thank Tim, actually, for setting a cot up for me and tucking me in to make me feel at home. I mean, normally I'm doing this at 3 a.m, so...
Yeah, this is nice, huh?
I've got to thank him for bringing in the blankets.
Yeah. Well, we're all about making you homey, my buddy.
You're good to me.
I know.
Okay, let's start with the usual animal story of drunkenness and excess.
Excellent.
A drunk pony was rescued from a swimming pool after gorging on fermented apples and falling into the water this week. The pony called Fat Boy broke into Sarah Penhaligon's garden in Newquay, Cornwall, England, to get the fruit which had fallen from the trees. He ate so many apples that he became confused, which I think is quite a nice phrase. I can imagine saying, "No, officer, it's okay, I'm not drunk, I'm just slightly confused." Penhaligon, 28, said she was woken at around 3 a.m. by the sound of an animal in distress. Is that normal for you, Dave, to be woken at 3 a.m. in the morning by an animal in distress?
Yeah, usually, though, if you treat them right and take them out to dinner, they're not that distressed.
Excellent.
Don't judge me.
Okay. She said she looked out of her window to see a large creature in the pool, adding, "When I looked outside, I saw this massive animal in the dark, and I thought it was the Beast of Bodmin Moor in my pool." By the way, the Beast of Bodmin Moor is a giant black cat that roams the West Country, and you get these glimpses of it occasionally, perhaps a big jaguar or a big cat that's been let loose there, so that's quite a common theme that you see in the West Country. She says, "I was terrified, but when I took a closer look, I realized it was a horse. I didn't have a clue what to do next. Who do you call when there's a horse stuck in your swimming pool?" Now, I don't know what it's like for you over here, but in Britain, rock stars would throw TVs, they would drive Rolls Royces into swimming pools. Is this perhaps a country and western group that have had a few drinks and thrown a horse into a pool?
It would seem
so. Is that possible?
That's going to be a hell of a clog to get out of there, Tim. What do you think?
You've never seen my shower drain?
Yes, that is true. He is hairy like a Yeti, Harry, as a matter of fact.
Well, I find that Drano helps.
Does it?
Yeah, about 55 gallons.
I bet. That's a tip for you.
He's the only man when they say, a girl says, "Can I run my hands through your hair?" And he takes his shirt off.
Oh, Timothy, a stab at you.
He loves me. He
I know.
It.
He's going to be holding my hand later when we're on this ghost hunt, so yes. I'm prepared for that.
All right, where are we off to next, sir?
Okay, we are going to Russia, which we're staying with the theme of libations and all things alcoholic. A Russian man, Dmitry Zurin from Moscow, has invented a talking vodka bottle which encourages drinkers to get in the mood. A teeny microphone in the lid projects a male voice each time the bottle top is removed. The voice encourages drinkers to have another round and even gives them suggestions for the next toast. The battery-operated responses become bawdier, eventually providing drinking songs and laughter. This sounds quite fun until you're about two-thirds of the way through the bottle, and I thought it could actually start saying things like, you've never amounted to anything, you've wasted your life, call yourself a man, you hide your way, you're drinking your life away. And then perhaps as you drain the last few drops from the bottom, it would start saying, you're my best friend, you are, I love you, your family. At which point a paramedic drags you out of a swimming pool and says, good news, we found traces of blood in your alcohol supply.
Excellent.
And you're saying, I've never seen that horse before, I'm just confused.
So let me get this straight. The bottle is a peer pressure bottle, and it will talk you through. So now, Tim, you don't have to feel bad when you're sitting at home drinking alone because the bottle's there to talk you through it.
I know.
See?
That and the voices in my head, it's like a big party.
I find that if you drink enough, the bottle talks to you anyway without electronics.
That is true. I've been there, too, in college.
Buy yourself a friend at the liquor store.
Yeah. Adrian, where are we off to next?
Well, to continue our foray into falling into unexpected places, an undertaker in the Czech Republic has had a close brush with death when he fell into a grave and was followed by the coffin. The man was carrying the coffin with colleagues at the cemetery in Stankova when he slipped and fell into the open grave. The coffin weighed 300 pounds and followed him into the grave and landed on his chest, just missing his head. Mourners had to help pull the coffin out of the grave and rescue the man, who was taken to hospital with three broken ribs. It is starting to become obvious that cemeteries are very dangerous places. There was a man from Quebec last week
right.
who had a gravestone fall on his head. But, you know, I don't think they're in a position where they can actually put a sign on the gates which reads, enter at your own risk. I'm thinking that could be quite a scary thing.
That it is.
So a nice dignified send-off there for the deceased, who had got lowered in and out of the hole on several occasions, at which point they then shook him, they did the hokey-pokey, and they all turned around and went home.
Oh, good God. With that, we're going to take our second break. You're listening to Darkness Radio on your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, sitting across the board from me this evening, live in studio, international news correspondent and roguishly handsome Englishman, Mr. Adrian Lee. Adrian.
Yes, sir.
Where are we off to next, sir?
We are. Let's cross a couple of time zones in a few continents, if I may be so bold.
Please.
In Kathmandu, Japanese climbers returning from a mountain in western Nepal said on Tuesday they had found footprints that they think belong to the abominable snowman or
yeti. To the what?
Abominable. This is the American correcting my English again,
isn't
it?
I can't help it.
How dare you?
Say it again. It was the cutest thing ever.
Pat, I'd like to buy a syllable, please.
I'm outnumbered. This is so unfair.
Yes, it is.
It is. It's just bullying in the workplace.
I know. All right, so they found the abominable snowman.
Oh, man, they did, yeah.
Okay.
And it's not the Yeti, it's the Yeti, by the way.
Yes, yeah. Oh, you see, you're picking back. He gets me back on that, Tim, because during it I said, why don't we go to the Yeti story next?
I love Return of the Yeti. It's my favorite
movie. So if we can return.
I'm a member of the Ancient Order of the Yeti.
Yes, very well.
So if we can return to our Yeti story.
Please.
We saw three footprints, they said, very large and could not be explained. A member of the Yeti Project Japan said, returning from the mountain with photographs of the footprint. The climbers, equipped with long lens cameras, video cameras and telescopes, said, however, they did not see or take any photographs of the creature, unfortunately. I don't know if these guys were out there at all running around, maybe producing some footprints.
Furry, do you have anything to say about this?
Well, actually, those footprints were, those were from my cousin Ben.
Ben Yeti?
Yeah, Ben Yeti.
Three feet? There. Is that his middle leg? Or?
Well, actually, he's a mutant. Mm. He's got 3 feet.
Nice.
He jumped, landed once, then left.
Now, did the footprints continue on? Or was it just
there was
like,
just three random footprints, just left. There was no beginning, no end.
He was drunk, and he he stumbled in.
You can leap over tall Andes in a single bound, or what? This is.
You know what, Ben? I'm not going to defend you anymore.
This is sad.
I thought Ben Yeti is spaghetti in Cockney rhyming slang, by the way.
Where are we off to now?
You haven't finished, seen his hair.
I'm sorry. We're not done? There's still more?
I know.
About the three-footed Yeti.
Yeah. Three-footed Yeti.
Is he not very tall?
I guess.
The Yeti is said to live in the Himalayan regions of Nepal and is largely regarded by the scientific community as a mythical beast, although we've just debunked that one.
Mm-hmm.
However, the footprints were found on the snow at an altitude of about 16,000 feet in the Dhaulagiri mountain region of western Nepal. We know how the footprints of bears, deers and mountain goats look, they say, but none of these look like any of this, and this is unique, apparently. And they've taken photographs of these, and if people want to see them, they're on the website, and it's the archetypal photograph with the pickaxe next to it, so you can see that for some sort of scale there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I got a cousin who deals in miniature pickaxes.
It's all an illusion?
It's all a fake, yeah.
So it's just some barefoot guy walking around at 16,000 feet, and
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That might be even more frightening than a three-foot Yeti. All right, where are we off to next?
Okay, we're going closer to home for me now, especially for our Francophile cousins that listen in. A controversial voodoo doll is proving to be quite the pain in the side of French President Nicolas Sarkozy this week. The doll, which features Sarkozy's likeness and is being sold in some French stores, comes with a set of pins and an instruction manual on how to inflict voodoo curses on him. Sarkozy is now suing the producer of the doll, which he said is an affront to his reputation and a misuse of his personal image. It is unlikely that the publisher or Sarkozy have thought much about the voodoo's ancient roots during the doll's fiasco, but the practice is in fact just one significant part of a complex belief system that makes up the mysterious religion, which is still practiced in many parts of Africa, Haiti and Jamaica. The precise beginnings of voodoo are unknown, but the West African country of Benin is considered to be the birthplace of the religion, and most historians would probably agree on that. Voodoo means spirit in the local language and has probably evolved there from ancient traditions of animism or the belief that otherworldly spirits can inhabit the body of humans and animals. So President Sarkozy at the moment probably feeling lots of sharp pains and pins all over his body.
That's crazy that they're still using this kind of... I just think it's funny that they do that. I think they did it, though, with Bush. They had, in the United States, I believe they had Bush voodoo dolls when he came in on the second term, and they were making a big stink of that back then as well. But
yeah, obviously that worked really well.
Yeah, well, he's going to get his now. I say, I'm giving him only another month or two in office, and then he's out for good.
He's out. He's out of here.
I was all for putting pins in puppets. I don't know if that's a good idea or
ouch,
not.
Yeah, that's... Ixnay on the up at pay. All right. Now, we're having, Adrian, we're having some guests on this evening talking about probably one of the biggest UFO cover-ups known to man with the Roswell crash, but you went out and you dug up some other UFO stories.
Sure, right? There's been a lot of activity this week, actually. Again, the release of military files under the Freedom of Information Act has turned up some real gems this week. A passenger jet bound for Heathrow Airport had a near miss with a UFO, the Ministry of Defence files reveal. The captain of Air Italia Airlines shouted "Look out!" to his co-pilot at the sight of a brown missile-shaped object shooting past them overhead. Civil Aviation Authority and military investigations could not explain the 1991 incident near Lydd in Kent in England. The unsolved close encounter features in UFO-related military documents made available by the National Archives. After ruling out the object flying past the Air Italia jet as a missile, weather balloon or space rocket, the Ministry of Defence actually enclosed their inquiries. 19 files covering sightings between 1986 and 1992 are being made available online. Almost 200 such files will be made available by the Ministry of Defence over the next 4 years. There is also a Ministry of Defence request that Army and Navy helicopters do not take photographs of crop circles because of concerns about undermining the official line that the military did not investigate unexplained phenomena. But this current batch also includes a US Air Force pilot's account of being ordered to shoot down a UFO that appeared on his radar while he flew over East Anglia. And again, I've got a story that touches upon that.
Yeah, go for it. Let's hear what you got.
Okay, one of the things that interests me about this is it's almost on a weekly basis these are coming out now as each file is released to the public. So if people actually want to see these, they can actually go online. And I do think there's a fee to pay, but you can see all of these files and actually look at the raw material yourself. There's drawings, sketches, interviews and various bits of footage on this. You can actually access these yourself if you want to see the raw data. But what that last report was referring to, an American fighter pilot flying over an English airbase at the height of the Cold War was ordered to open fire on a massive UFO that lit up his radar, and this account was actually published on Monday. The fighter pilot said he was ordered to fire a full salvo of rockets at the UFO moving erratically over the North Sea, but at the last minute, the object picked up enormous speed and disappeared. The account first published in Britain's Daily Star newspaper more than 17 years ago, and to this day unverified by military authorities, was one of many carried by the 1,500 pages the archives made available online. The unnamed pilot said he and another airman were scrambled on the night of May the 20th, 1957, to intercept an unusual bogey on radars at the Royal Air Force Station Manston, an airfield in the southeastern tip of England, about 70 miles from central London. This was a flying object that was very unusual in its flight patterns, the pilot said. According to a typed manuscript of his account mailed to Britain's Ministry of Defence by a UFO enthusiast in 1988, in the initial briefing it was suggested to us that the bogey actually was motionless for long intervals. Ordered to fly at full throttle in cloudy weather, the pilot said he was given the order to fire a volley of 24 rockets at the mysterious object. He said he was incredibly scared, saying that he was asked for confirmation, which he then received, to actually take out this object. Retired US Airman Milton Torres told Britain's Sky News on Monday that he was the pilot and he has spent the last 50 frustrating years attempting to uncover the truth of this aerial encounter. Speaking from his home in Miami, Torres said that he'd never saw the UFO with his naked eyes, but he watched in awe as it appeared on his jet's radar and sped off across before he had a chance to fire. All of a sudden it was coming in. It decided to take off and leave me behind. The next thing I know, it was gone. It was like some kind of space alien craft. It was so fast. It was so incredible. It was absolutely death-defying. In the newly published government file, the US airman said the UFO appeared impossible to miss. The blip was burning a hole in the radar with its incredible intensity, the pilot said. It was similar to a blip I had received from a B-52, and it seemed to be a magnet of light. I had a lock on it, and I had the proportions of the flying aircraft carrier in front of me. As he closed in on the object to prepare for combat, however, the object began to move wildly before fading off his radar, and the target had gone, and the mission was called off, and then he was asked to return to base to a very odd reception. He said, "I had not the foggiest idea what had actually occurred, nor would anyone explain to me anything else," the pilot said. He said he was led to a man in civilian clothes when he landed who advised me that this would be considered highly classified and that he should not discuss it with anybody, not even his own commander. And then that particular man disappeared without so much as a goodbye, and he's never heard from him since. Britain's military said it has no record of the incident according to the files. Neither did the US military. The second pilot's account, also included in the files, actually paints a somewhat different picture of events, saying there was not one, but actually several unknown objects, and some of them were the size of aircraft carriers. Although he also mentions that the narrative wasn't actually as exciting as he remembers it. He said that his colleague actually perhaps included things on the original report that he didn't actually see himself. But quite interesting for me that those reports have just been made available, and the American military haven't actually admitted to finding any of this stuff, although the British military, because this happened in Britain, has now recorded these and put these in public view.
That's unbelievable that our government is still so tight-lipped. I think France, Canada, and England have now all come forward pretty much with some really compelling evidence that they're willing to share out there.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to Colonel Marcel here in a few minutes. Jesse Marcel Jr. is going to be our guest after the top of the hour, so stay with us, and we'll be back with more on that. Adrian, thanks for coming in and spending time with us during the show here. You're going to stay and hang out for the ghost hunt tonight,
I will,
right?
Certainly stay with you for the ghost hunt. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Great. Well, thank you, sir. And we're going to be back with more, and we're going to talk to Furry and Dwayne right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. It's been an interesting evening, Tim, having our favorite Brit in the studio with us.
Are you talking about the dude from Transylvania?
No, other Brits. Oh. The real Brits, you know. We've also had in studio with us this evening Furry Acker Monster and Dwayne Frankenstein. Guys, thanks again for being here with us this evening.
Oh, completely. It's been great. No. Hey, I got something real quick, though.
Yeah, please.
I have interesting information about UFO cover-ups.
Please.
I can tell you all about them.
Okay.
Well, Dwayne makes them. He knits them out of yak fur.
It's time-consuming, but once you get the saucer shape down, it's sort of like an enormous tea cozy. And you just sort of knit it forever. It's not true, really.
Not true? Are you teasing us?
Furry made it up.
That's not good. Well, guys, now you've got your partners that you brought in with you that actually introduced me to you. So let's go ahead and introduce us to those gentlemen that you've brought with, and let's find out a little bit more about Transylvania TV.
Well, I'll put my guy on right now. His name's Michael Hegel. Let me get him. Hey, hi, everybody. It's me, Michael.
Hey, Michael. Hi. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
I don't want my guy to come in. He's a butthead.
Furry, come on.
Oh, gosh.
I understand it's like Jim Henson. You can't tell when Kermit stops and Furry begins.
Is that the problem here?
All right, Furry, take a break.
We've got in studio with us Michael Hegel and Gordon Smooter. And they are masterminds behind Transylvania TV.
Well, and interestingly, Michael Hegel sounds more like a Muppet than Dwayne does.
Yes, it does.
Hegel sounds like a Muppet name. So.
Now, you guys have been working on this program.
Yes.
Tell the audience about this. Now, too, if you guys want to check this out, it's awesome. Go to darknessradio.com. And on our front page, there's a link now to Transylvania TV. You can click there and go in and see their videos. Or you can go directly to their site, which is
www.transylvania-tv.com.
And there you can watch episodes. You guys are doing little webisodes.
And I hate that term, but yeah.
Yeah, I do too, because it makes it sound non-professional, but you guys have a fantastic product that you put out.
Thank you.
And I really did. I fell in love with it at the Indie Horror Con this weekend.
Thank you.
Or this week, and when I saw it. And now you have a full, like, half-hour pilot on the site, right?
Yeah, we shot a pilot, and it was actually on the air last October. We got it on the air on Channel 23 locally. And, looking at our Nielsen numbers, we actually pulled better numbers than the episode of South Park that was on before us.
Did you hear that, Tim?
So
they're in direct competition with yourself.
Sacrilege.
People actually tuned in after South Park to watch us, and which is actually pretty amazing considering that we registered on the Nielsens at all. We were on at midnight, and we didn't get in early enough to actually be included in the printed schedule. So everybody who tuned in heard about us from people talking about the show or us at conventions or word of mouth kind of stuff.
So. And that's the half an hour episode that's on the site now?
Yes, you can see that whole thing on the website.
Now, you guys are also doing, like I said, the little episodes for the web.
Yes. Continuing adventures of.
Yeah. Our little snippets of comedy for basically, it's just an attempt to keep it fresh. We have to keep putting new stuff up to get people to keep coming back and see the show and that kind of thing. And so we're just doing, you know, a little 2-minute, 3-minute sketches with the characters, trying to keep them developing. I mean, we actually want our characters to grow a little bit, too, as time goes on. So we're going to keep developing new stuff and keep throwing maybe some new characters in there. And
you know what? This was, like, a great, for me growing up, two of my favorite shows of all time, honestly, were The Muppets and the Groovy Ghoulies.
Oh, yeah.
And to see you mate these two and come up with your insane hybridization and, you know, with a little bit of Monty Python thrown in, I think is a really great homage to the classics. And the humor, again, folks, I wouldn't necessarily watch it with your kids, little kids at this point. It's probably, you know, appropriate, 16 and up.
PG-13 and up. Probably.
Right.
We do have some very confused children who like the show, though.
Yes.
There might be, like, confused from eating apples. We're not sure.
Too many. Well, it could be. Fermented apples. Yeah. Now, you've got the stuff on there. And how often are you guys putting up new little bits on the site?
We're trying for at least one or two new things a month.
Okay.
But it's one of those situations where, you know, money is money, and, and we're either working or we're doing the show. And, I mean, obviously, it's the story I like to tell is that I had to sell off my entire Japanese robot collection to pay for the pilot. And after that was gone, well, I'm poor now. So
that's very Kevin Smith of you. Didn't he sell off, like, all of his comic book collections to do the first Clerks movie?
Probably, yeah.
So, see, you got to give up a little bit of the passion to get this stuff. Yeah. Now, what are you guys doing? How are you getting help to flesh this out and get us a regular TV series?
I got it seen. I got it saw. How do you say that? It has been seen by the folks at Adult Swim. We were turned down, and now that's out of the way, so we can keep moving.
Which I find amazing because they're trolling out crap like Harvey Birdman and
Assy McGee and
What's that other one? Now I know you love Harvey Birdman, Tim, but what's that other stupid one with the French fries, the shake, and the meatball? Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Those shows have got to be the biggest waste of television time I've ever seen. Look at Tim's all offended. But it's true. I'm hoping you guys can get picked up on maybe a secondary wave. Maybe you guys will, you know.
Yeah, maybe. You know, and the thing is that they know about us now. So, even if Transylvania Television, I want it to go and that sort of thing. But, you know, if for some reason unforeseen that Transylvania Television doesn't go, maybe they'll think, you know, hey, we want to do something with puppets, and they'll come back to us and say, you know, you guys did that puppet thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always more avenues to fame and fortune than what you might have in your back pocket. So
you guys are in it for the love of the game?
Oh, absolutely.
You're just in it for money? Tim, I'm so disappointed.
That's the only reason I'm here.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Gordon, I'm here for love.
Gordon got a call from Greg the Bunny the other day, literally from Greg the Bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Dan Milano, who does Greg the Bunny. He was very nice. He actually gave me a lot of really good information about what it's like doing a show mm-hmm. like that. And we talked for probably about 45 minutes. And
then he threatened to sue your ass if the show ever lands on
not
here.
Really, no. No. You know, he's got a puppet vampire on his thing, right. too. So it's, you know. So I don't know. What is it with puppets and vampires? You got Forgetting Sarah Marshall with puppet vampire.
Oh, yeah?
Did Sesame Street have a Count Dracula?
No, the Count.
The Count.
Oh, right. Yeah. I apologize for my lack of Count knowledge on all things American culturally and children-based.
Yeah, the Count von Count,
yes.
which it gives you a little bit of information about the Muppet people, how deeply they look into their subject matter, because the Count, part of vampire legend is that in order to distract a vampire, you can throw poppy seeds on the ground, and the vampire is compelled to stop and count them all.
Right.
And so obviously they work that into working with the Count, who is compelled to count everything, evidently.
Right. Well, guys, I hope that this thing takes off for you and you have a lot of success with it. And again, people can find you and find more of your web episodes
yes.
on Transylvania underscore
dash.
Hyphen. Okay, Transylvania-TV.com.
Yep.
Or if that's just too hard for you,
go
folks.
Go there now. Go there now.
Exactly. You can also go to darknessradio.com, click on the link on Transylvania TV. You can watch episodes. We've partnered up with these guys because I believe in what they're doing. We want to help support it and get the word out. Let everybody know about this great show. And
Tell your friends.
Right. And then if you know people, you got connections, get them to take a look at the show and let's get this thing on the air. Guys, much love to you. And I hope, Michael, are you going to come on out to the Halloween party at least?
It is a done deal.
You're going to be there?
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
And we'll be there with stuff, I think. So
you're going to come out with Dwayne?
Yes, so please join us there at the stuff next week.
Great. So at the Palmer House Hotel, Tim, share that. We got a new guest. We're going to have Dwayne Frankenstein for sure on site with us.
Sweet.
And he's going to bring Michael Hegel as well.
There you go.
So you guys, much continued success. Everybody else, stay tuned. We're going to be back talking about the new book, The Roswell Legacy, written by Jesse Marcel Jr. You get all that and more. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio.
big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.